Welcome to Idea Day 2011, and we can start today if you will all join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm Meryl, a compulsive overeater. And I want to welcome everyone here today, and I want to thank all the members of the committee that made this day possible. What you see, we're getting it down to a science, but it's still not easy. All the pieces have to fall into place. So just thank you all who gave of your time. International Day of Experiencing Abstinence. That's where IDEA comes from. And it was established to encourage OA members worldwide to begin or reaffirm their abstinence from compulsive eating. Before we start today, I would like to ask everyone to observe a moment of silence for two of our own that we've lost, Colleen Goldsack and Joan Roberta Robbie Della Vecchia. Thank you. We have a wonderful schedule today. We have a panel and speakers, but I always do my thing up here and do my little research and find all kinds of sayings that motivate me, so I'm going to be sharing them, as usual, my Merylisms with you. When I came to recovery, I realized that being a child, in my case, for 51 years, nearly killed me. Serenity is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it. Minds are like parachutes. They only function when they are open. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Success comes from knowing that you did your best to become the best that you are capable of being. And the final one for this round, when you leave here, don't forget why you came. On that note, I am going to not trip over the cords and begin our opening workshop and call upon Christina, who's going to get our blood moving and our enthusiasm going and start the day. So everyone welcome Christina.
That is a tall order. I want to thank the committee for inviting me to speak today. Could all the girls that put the, and fellas that were kind enough to put the day together, could you please stand for a minute so we could recognize you? Thank you very much. So important to have opportunities like this at the closing of the year, because it's so easy to get caught up in everything else that goes on then. Before I start to speak, I always ask God to help me to say something that's useful. And so if you like what you hear, thank him, borrowing that from somebody else. And if you don't like what you hear, you should say to him, you should have done a better job. So this is an interactive workshop, and probably my first interactive workshop or of that kind. And because the steps are about connecting with others, we have a little icebreaker. And I'm going to give you 5 minutes to go. Does everybody have a handout? 5 minutes to take a look at the yellow sheet and get acquainted with the people in the room. And the timer will go off after 5 minutes. day goes on, as the day goes on, we won't be such strangers to each other. And the ice has been broken. I always use a timer when I speak, because I've been around for 30 years, one day at a time, and grateful for every day I've been here, even the not so hot ones. But I can't tell you about all the blessings that I've had in 30 years. And I'm a crier, so you'll see that during this my 15 minutes of fame here. I do believe I have a devastating disease that will kill me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the most important parts to me these days are the emotional and spiritual part. We recently had a Region 7 convention, and the topic for it was Surrender to Win. This is something I wrote about surrender a while ago. Surrender still seems to be a lesson I continually skip rope with. Surrender to the fact I'm a compulsive eater. Surrender to the fact I need a food plan. Surrender to the fact I need a sponsor. Surrender the job situation, growing older, and on and on. When I can surrender, the mask melts, and I'm in a place I could not have gotten to without this work. The surrender happens not because I wished it, but because I finally could, taking one step at a time. I came in 1981. My mother told me about OA. And I called the hotline after she left my house that day and did not get a call back. But the next year, in 1981, when I was desperate, I had put on about 30 pounds eating health food, as only we can. I called the hotline number, and they told me about a meeting in St. Cecilia's over in Islin. And I went over there, and it was the beginning of a new life. They should have said to me that night, your life begins now. Because all these skills that I have learned over the years come as a result of walking this path one day at a time. What was important and fashionable in program then still works today. I got a sponsor, I got a big book, I got a food plan, and I went to meetings. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others in my life. And I've had a few sponsors in the program. I love all of them for the strength that they've given me over time, and the discipline. In my house, I have a place where I can go to, a special place for me. I call it the praying chair. Sometimes I call it the sponsor chair. It's where I go, I sit down, and I have my quiet time in the morning. I do my writing. I talk to my sponsees from that chair. I have some music. I have a timer, because sometimes I get very nervous, and I'm concerned about what the next thing on the agenda is, but I think I can give myself 10 minutes to breathe with God in the morning. So I set the timer for 10 minutes. And I, you know, if there's somebody that you know, needs some extra support, I ask God to keep them in mind. And then I sit there and try and breathe in. Breathe in God and breathe out peace. And that's really important, because I'm centered then when I get out of that chair. Let's see. I made notes. I always make notes, because I have a very poor memory. Over time, as I worked the steps, I did a four-step inventory, and I learned to take a look at where I was not so hot. And then when we got to 8 and 9, I learned to say, I'm sorry, can you forgive me? And, you know, if anybody is reticent about that step, it's they come in order for a reason. When you get to step 8, you're ready to be there. And I tried to bargain with my sponsor, and I said to her, you know, these people are going to think I'm a crackpot if I write them a letter after not seeing them for 15 years. And she said, you know, honey, it doesn't matter what they did. It matters what you did. And So for some, I reached out personally. Some I wrote letters. And when I mailed those letters, the resistance in me evaporated. And I knew that if I ever saw them on the street, that I would be able to go over and say hello. Previous to putting the letter in that mailbox, I would not have done that. I learned to speak gently to myself. I was a nervous kid. At this age, I'm still nervous. And when something unusual happens, sometimes I panic. And I have to step it back and say, well, it's step two. Do you really believe God can give you a hand with this? Do I believe God is big enough to take care of something? And I do. So then the next thing I do is make a decision. My best friend says, step three says make a decision, not had a feeling. So when you think about, geez, do I want to measure out that stuff so I can take my lunch to the idea day? I've made a decision, you know? And so I did. I brought my two cups of whatever, and I'm going to have a fabulous lunch in fabulous company today. And then I say to myself, it's okay, sweetie. Nothing happens in God's world by mistake. If he leads you to it, he leads you through it. So this is just another opportunity for you to learn. Now, an interactive workshop is, you know, first me and then us. We're going to share some ideas. So I've had 30 birthdays since I've come into this program. There's some things, by the grace of God, I haven't put in my mouth for 30 years. I don't miss them. The people that celebrate my birthday with me have that. They also have some of the fruit salad that they put the candle in for me. And I think it's charming. My husband gave me a 30th birthday party, and there were some of the people closest to my heart there. And the people at the other end of the table, the families and new in-law side said, how do you know these people? I said, we met through mutual friends. I can't even remember, but I've known them for decades now. And that side of the table had fruit, and the other side of the table had this celebratory thing. And I've had a good many moments through the holidays during those times, because I have to focus on saying, okay, God, let whatever I put on my plate be enough for today. That's all. And help me to tune in and be helpful to whoever comes to the table today. My first came to believe experience happens when I was in about 2 months. I came in at about 190 pounds. And the only thing I knew was that I was abstinent and this woman was helping me every morning. And they used to tell us, make phone calls. Make a couple of phone calls a day. So finally I screwed up my courage, because I was going up to the mother-in-law, who was a lovely woman who expressed her love in all kinds of made-from-scratch things. And I said to this girl, Peggy, I'm going to have to be strong, because Oma's, you know, she's up there, she's cooking for days now. And Peggy said, you don't have to be anything, sweetie. You have to ask God to help you. So we get up there the first night, it's fine. The next morning, fresh air from Saugerties is at me, and it's 10 o'clock, and the coffee and whatever else comes out. And I said, oh God. And I took my little three-year-old out to the driveway. She had a long driveway, and I walked up and down. I said, God, help me. Help me now. Now is the time I need help, God. And all of a sudden, I had this feeling that I was okay. That whatever happened during the day, I wasn't going to eat anything that was inappropriate for me. And I didn't. And, you know, because I was a heavy size at that point in time, my mother-in-law was very supportive of this. When I got thin, sometimes we'd go up there and she'd been cooking for days, and she'd look at me like, who the hell are you? Not to have this seven layer that took me 2 days to make. And I would say to her, Oma, you are such a lovely woman. Look at the love you put and what you put on the table. I can't have that, but everybody else loved it. And it had to be enough. It was what I could offer at the time. Just to let her know that it didn't, you know, I appreciated the fact that she wanted everybody to be there and be comfortable. And I believe that whenever I reach out to God, He gives me a hand, and that His help is unique and specific for what I need. And I believe that's true with everybody else. I listened to a lot of MP3s. You can get them off iTunes now. You can get them off our CJI website. We have MP3s of all the speakers at Unity Day and some of our retreats. And it's a wonderful thing. While I'm decking my halls and scrubbing my house because people are coming this year, I'm going to be listening to a good message in my ear. It's more of that insurance work. I make extra phone calls. A sponsee of mine said to me the other day, I made 6 phone calls, didn't reach anybody. I said, but you know what? You said to your spirit that this is the new stuff. This is what I want to do. I want to try and use this tool. When I'm crabby, I reach out and not necessarily tell people I'm crabby. I call them and say, what are you doing that's good for you today? And maybe they might say something that turns my attitude around. And then there are times that I'm hungry and I call people and the hunger disappears. Where does it go? I don't know where it goes. A minute before, I thought it was hungry. And, you know, it takes a lot of practice to practice this program. I do a gratitude list. Right now, I'm texting a friend gratitudes. Every day we take another letter of the alphabet. So today is B. I have to think of some B's for today. But yesterday it was abundance, abstinence, and red apples. And she texted me back awareness and a couple of other things. And it's nice. I don't have to answer the phone just then, and I have a reminder I'm connected to somebody. Let's see. Another thing I heard recently, Margaret had got the tapes from a workshop that was done in Virginia. It's called A Weekend Walk Through the Steps. One of the best things I've ever heard. The fella in there mentions, do something measurable for the next 30 days to enhance your program. So I have one person that was talking the other day said she felt a little lost. I said, well, what's the measurable thing that you can do? So every day I'm getting an email that she's spending some time in the praying chair. And I had a math professor at one point in time that told me it took 17 days to make a habit. My life is worth 17 days of anything. It was about 30 years of reacting to life when I first came in here. And some of those habits and patterns started when I was a really small person. I still sometimes get jarred and react to things like that. Working the program helps me to establish new habits and patterns. And I'm led to it. You know, I hear things in what people share and recognize myself. And there is a bond between me and everybody else here. Because you do it, I can do it too. In the beginning, I went to a beginner meeting, and we had a different speaker every week. And the stories would just draw you back. And then, you know, maybe I wouldn't identify that night, but 2 weeks later, I'd come to something that was not really, you know, a pleasant situation. And I'd say, the only thing that could make this worse is a handful of food. And if whoever could do it, I can make it through this day. And the sun will go down, and the sun will rise again, and maybe it'll be better tomorrow. So I'm grateful for every day I've been here. And I only have 53 seconds left, so I better get you that handout that I gave you. So you have your cute little icebreaker. There's a prayer card. And every time I do this, I make up a different one. This is these are what I thought would help, be most helpful during the holiday season. The first two are quotes I heard somebody say at a meeting. I'm totally loved and worthy of having long-term abstinence, one day at a time till the day I die. I thank God for the days, weeks, months, and years of abstinence I've had, but the most important day is today. The next one is kind of a centering thing I do. Try it. See if it fits for you. If God leads you to it, he'll lead you through it. A new favorite one is God has big arms. I heard that at the convention, and I loved it. And then inch by inch, it's a cinch, and by the yard, it's hard. There was an AA speaker, Liz Bailey, who we honored at our convention in Philadelphia because she comes and supports OA too. And that's the thing she says with enthusiasm all the time. Inch by inch, it's a cinch, and by the yard, it's hard. On the back of the handout is the Step 4 Resentment Prayer. I learned this spring in a step study I went to. God, this person is perhaps spiritually blocked. Whether they are or not, this resentment is blocking me spiritually. Please help me to show them the same tolerance, compassion, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Please forgive me for being angry. Enable me to stop clinging to this resentment. Please remove this resentment and show me how to take a kindly and tolerant view of this person. Please show me how I can be helpful to this person. I will be done. And at that time, there were a couple of people on my fourth step that were really under my fingernails. And the instruction was to write the name and then say this prayer for them. And after I did that, one of the resentments dissolved. And then I continued on with the columns. And when I got to the fourth column, I saw where I was at fault, where I didn't have the courage to speak my truth. And that was my part. And so, can we just live? Can we just live and let live? And then the last one is the Sufi prayer. You say it three times for yourself, three times for somebody loved. If you feel like a spiritual giant, say it three times for the person who is being a challenge or a teacher or a pain in the head. And then you come back to yourself. And I find these things help me. There are also, there's a 12 Steps to a Better Day holiday season that came from the 2007 Lifeline. We used this for the OA phone marathon. First Thanksgiving marathon. Then there's something that a friend passed to me, the 12 Steps to Breakdown, and I should have put on here how not to do it. And the last thing is a wonderful piece that was that came about as a result of the Edison Sunday Night Group. They did a Staying Sane Through the Holiday workshop, and Barbara put this together, some great practical things on how to prepare yourself. So, there's a little card there too, which says you make a difference. I think all of us make a difference as a result of coming and being exposed to the steps. And I was listening to a Bernie Siegel tape yesterday, and he said, you want to do something for somebody, go make a little card or button that says you make a difference. And tell them to hold on for a day, and then give it to somebody else. So, whether you choose to hold on to it, or whether you choose to pass it forward, is, you know, according to your own light, do that. But that's my part. And now, there is a lot of wisdom in this room. We all have different paths. Perhaps you didn't connect with something I said, but maybe there's somebody else that has, you know, a good idea that's going to help me or you. And so this is your part, and thank you for your kind attention. So we have about 20 minutes.
Yes. You have until 10:55, so we can interact a lot.
Okay. So this is your part. Do we want to pass around a microphone, Joe? I want to thank everybody for not throwing tomatoes. And I appreciate you bringing your strength and your energy here. So I have a few closing remarks that I wrote down so I don't forget. Remember, life can be different. If you change your thinking, you can change your life. Little by little, I tried new behaviors and worked through my fears and sad relationships. It says in step one, the admission of our powerless over food opened the door to an amazing newfound power. That I believe is true. Just take a small step. It's the beginning of the journey to come home to yourself. Just keep doing what you can. Do the little bit you can do today, and God will meet you where you are. The steps come in order for a reason. Do what you can today, and you'll find you can do a little more tomorrow. I'm here today because this is my program. I've noticed that people who are successful do service. Over my years in program, I've put chairs away. That was my first service. Sponsored people. Helped with handouts, programs, organized sing-alongs, attended intergroup, and shared a retreat. All these things have helped me to connect with somebody else. That was the important part. That would save my life. I celebrate being part of this party, and I feel part of the OA tribe. One of my favorite authors says that life is like a puzzle, and we only are given a few pieces at a time, and over time, only over time, the whole picture emerges. For as the earth was begun like a dish breaking, eternity is that scene slowly reversing, and you and I, and the things we're drawn to, are merely the pieces of God unbreaking back together. So remember, the rest of your life starts here. Do your best.